On April 8, 2000, I was given a one-year-old Eastern screech owl that had been rehabbed but was too imprinted on people to be released to the wild. I had stayed in federal permits to keep him as an education bird. My son Joey decided we should name him Archimedes. Lots of people thought it was exceptionally cool for me to live with an owl, but I always felt a heavy responsibility to keep people from romanticizing that, especially in the era of Harry Potter. For years, as the books and movies came out, I'd get at least a couple of emails every week asking how one could get a pet owl. I developed an educational web page, The Owls of Harry Potter, with a photo of Archimedes and me dressed as Professor McGonagall to explain the differences between real owls and the owls in J.K. Rowling's magical universe. More than 500,000 people have visited that page. I never tallied up an exact total, but Archimedes appeared before several thousand people in live programs over the years. Having him in my office with me was a sacred privilege. When I was writing late at night, he'd often start calling, and I'd call back. Some of our interchanges lasted a half hour or more. About half the time, if I called to him from somewhere in the house, he'd answer back. Owls don't necessarily get lonely for their own kind and can have problems when forced to live with another bird not of their choosing. Several years ago, the Lake Superior Zoo had to separate their male and female screech owls because the female kept hurting the male. We may romanticize the idea of providing birds with a lifetime partner, but like us, they want some say in the matter. And until they've fully accepted a mate, they prefer to be by themselves. So I'm pretty certain that Archimedes never seriously minded not having a mate, even as I went through the last 17 and a half years feeling sad that he could never have a natural life in the wild. Every now and then people tell me it's obscene for any wild bird or mammal to be kept in captivity, that it is better to euthanize those that can't be released than to relegate them to life in captivity. What to do for Archimedes seemed straightforward ethically. His choice as a sentient being was to associate with people. As long as he could be placed with a legally licensed person committed to making his life as rich as possible while using him to teach people about owls and important conservation issues, the ethics seemed crystal clear. Archimedes seemed sort of sluggish when I fed him in the morning on August 12th. I spent most of the morning in my office, and he called a couple of times to me, but didn't seem quite normal. I went into his cage a couple of times and preened his face, and he leaned into it like always, but his feathers seemed more fluffed than usual. I figured his molt was starting, so he was probably feeling a little off. I went downstairs for a short time for lunch, and when I came back upstairs, he had toppled off his perch onto the floor, dead. He was 18 and a half years old. I so wanted to give Archimedes as long a life and as good a life as I possibly could. I've interpreted some of his confiding ways, like how he'd lean in and close his eyes when I stroked him, as an indication that he was comfortable with me, but there was never a way of asking him what might have made him happier or what he really wanted out of this life. I like to imagine him free now, flying under the moon or alighting on a massive limb of a big old elm or peeking out of a pileated woodpecker hole or whinnying under the stars somewhere out there in the universe. I like to imagine that he's shaken off his duty to teach people things we already should understand about the ways of owls and the value of nature, shaken it off the way he'd shake out his feathers after preening, a spray of feather dust forming a sparkling halo around him. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.